majesty and her wisdom, for she truly inspired this book. Frank Herbert modeled Lady Jessica Atreides after Beverly Herbert, as well as many aspects of the Bene Gesserit sisterhood. Beverly was his writing companion and his intellectual equal. She was Frank Herbert's universe, his inspiration, and, more than anyone else, his spiritual guide on the road to doom. Foreword. Frank Herbert had more fun with life than anyone I've known. He laughed more, joked more, and produced more than any writer I've ever met. With modest beginnings just across the Puyallup River from my own birthplace, and passionate about outdoor life, he judged people by their creativity and by whether they met hardship with humor or with bile. Humor helped him to endure hardship and to enjoy his rise above it. Frank believed the suffering in the Garrett stereotype was foisted onto writers by publishers so that they could get away with small advances. The only true currency that Frank recognized was time to create. "Here it is, Ransom," he said. "First class buys you more time to write." Never ostentatious, he lived as comfortably as he wanted, but not as extravagantly as he could, always with close ties to the outdoors. Enjoyment AD, after Dune, came from trying new writing adventures and from helping others succeed. Frank offered opportunities, not handouts, saying, "I'd rather give a man a hand up than step on his fingers." This echoes my favorite Dostoevsky line, "Feed men, then ask of them virtue." Everything and everyone fell into two rough categories for Frank. It, he, she either contributed to his writing time or interfered with it. I've always had pretty much the same attitude. We knew of each other through our publication successes, but we noticed each other's successes because we both came from the Puyallup Valley. We both had fathers who were in law enforcement in the same district, and we'd had shirt-tail relatives marry. We moved to Port Townsend in the same week in the early 70s and discovered this when the local paper ran stories on each of us. I wanted to meet him, finally, but I wanted to be respectful of his writing time. Frank wrote a piece under a pseudonym for The Helix, my favorite underground newspaper in Seattle, just a few years earlier. I dropped Frank a postcard addressed to the pseudonym, H. Burt Frank, saying I wrote until noon but would love to meet for coffee sometime. The next afternoon at 12:10, he called. "Hello, Ransom. Herbert here. Is that coffee on?" It was. And thus began our 15-year routine of coffee or lunch nearly every day. Frank believed poetry to be the finest distillation of the language, whether written in open or closed form. He read voraciously in contemporary poetry through literary and little magazines, and he wrote poetry as he worked through issues of life and of fiction. As a very young man, he discovered that he could make somewhat of a living from his nonfiction prose style, which was far more readable than most of the journalism of the time. His prose style, his eye for detail, and his ear for true vernacular, coupled with that ever-persistent what-if question in his ear, made for a natural transition to fiction. Success came to Frank in prose, but inspiration filled his notebooks and his fiction with poetry. My first poetry collection, Finding True North and Critter, was nominated for the National Book Award the same year Frank's Soul Catcher was nominated in fiction. Perhaps if Frank and I had both been fiction writers off the bat, or both poets, our friendship may have developed differently. As it was, we refreshed and re-enthused each other with our writing and encouraged each other to risk something in our work, like crossing over into other genres, such as screenplays. The greatest risk of all, to friendship and to our writing reputations, came when we co-wrote The Jesus Incident and submitted it under both of our names. Frank pointed out that if the book were published, we would each face specific criticisms for working together. People would say that Frank Herbert ran out of ideas and that Bill Ransom was riding on the coattails of the master. When these statements did indeed come up, we were better prepared psychologically for having predicted them in advance. Circumstances leading up to our collaboration were complex, but our personal agreement was simple. Nothing that either of us wanted would stand in the way of the friendship, and we shook hands. Nothing did. Not even the publisher's preference that we release it just with Frank's name. The advance offer under this potential agreement was larger by a decimal point than what we received with both names on.